It is great to see you this morning, church. I am very thankful that we have been able to, as Justin mentioned, gather here. I'm also thankful that we are able to get some folks back. Thankful that we still have live stream to those who aren't able to be back yet. We do have some folks that are out of town today, and so maybe we seem, even from our normal standards, a little bit off, but that doesn't take away from us having some folks back today. And I am not going to probably get everyone, so I apologize in advance, but I am very thankful to have my in-laws back today. Welcome back to them. I'm also very thankful to see Brother Lindy back today. Brother Lindy, welcome back. And good to see you. And then, you ready, champ? Look at my brother and sister over here. The Carpenters are back. Welcome back, Brother Conrad and Miss Glenda as well. It's so great to have our elders be able to be back with us and wives and all also. So what a blessing. I mean, again, there's still vaccines being distributed more and more every day. And so we're thankful for that. But we also are thankful for the opportunity, like we say, to have live stream. But what a great moment to be able to say welcome back. It's been a year, by the way. I think around a year today, maybe, that we shut it down. And people didn't come back because of fears and concerns and where they stood health-wise and such. But here we are today, and I'm thankful for that. But let's get into our lesson now, and let's talk about what we've been talking about the last several weeks. We've been talking about being devoted, or are we distracted? I'm concluding this series of lessons today. But I think this lesson, as we put basically a maybe an exclamation point on the end of this series, I believe this lesson speaks to something that has caused a lot of people, even in the pandemic, to take their eyes off of Jesus Christ. So, last year we talked about focus. What did the devil do? He tried to get us out of focus. This year we're talking about elevate. And so now we've got to take where we were spiritually and we've got to lift it up. So, how can we do that? Well, one thing the devil has done, I believe, unfortunately, he's very good at, he has allowed people to believe they're okay spiritually. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, have it our way, live the way we want to live, be the way we want to be, and you know what? You're okay spiritually. Well, guess what? That's not what God says. God says you can be content, and we're going to read that again, what Jason read in a moment. You can be content in life, right? You need to learn to be content in life, but we can't be content spiritually. But what happens is people struggle with contentment. They struggle with, okay, on one hand, I'm not content, and so I need to make more money, and so it takes my eyes off of Jesus. But then on the other hand, they believe spiritually they're okay because they become content spiritually. And that's an issue. We lose our devotion. We get distracted. Let's face it, we live in a society that is give me more and give me more right now. We've got to go get ours. You've heard that saying. There seems to be more and more people taking their focus off of what needs to really matter and putting it on things that in the end of the day are going to be destroyed. You see, there are a lot of homes that people aren't happy with. There are a lot of clothes that people aren't happy with. There are a lot of toys, luxuries. There are even those that aren't happy with their husband anymore. Those that aren't happy with their wives anymore. And unfortunately, with it all, there are some that aren't happy with the church anymore. You see, this kind of mentality, being content where we are, being content where we are spiritually, not elevating ourselves to where we need to be, is one way to really, really get distracted. It's a way to really take our eyes off of what matters most and put it on what doesn't matter. I'm confident that whatever job, whatever source of income, whatever amount of time, whatever talent we possess, God wants us to make the most of it. He wants us to do it to bring Him glory. Paul said, as was read to us by Jason a moment ago, Philippians 4, 10 through 13, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Now that's with an earthly resources, right? With earthly possessions. "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What he's saying is, I quit relying on things and I rely on Him. I don't rely on earthly possessions, I rely on Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, we can't be content where we are. We can't be down here spiritually and say, "Oh, I'm fine. I haven't worshiped, I haven't been there, I haven't read, I haven't prayed, I haven't done what I need to do, I don't come to Sunday school, I don't do these things, but you know what, I'm okay. I am just fine spiritually." And listen, let me talk to those of us who, now, I'm not talking to those who couldn't be here, okay, for health reasons, for other concerns, but those who maybe are listening or what have you. Listen, you know, sometimes you got to move, right? You got to preach sermons that move. They're either going to move you or they're going to move the congregation, right? And so the fact remains this. There's some people that could be here that aren't here. And that's a concern, right? It's a concern because if I get content spiritually, guess what? Man, I take my devotion and it becomes distraction. I take my elevating and just get satisfied where I am. If I do that, if I become that, guess what? I'm not going to be content in the world because I'm going to want more. Because I'm going to forget that my home is not this world. My home is heaven. My home, my citizenship is with Jesus Christ. And if I live my life earthly, then guess what? I'm going to die spiritually. Paul made the most of what he had, and he did it all to God's glory. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to illustrate this today with a story that I've preached, you've heard. But I love this story. And I think it illustrates exactly from the disciples' perspective, from the young man's perspective, and of course from Jesus' perspective, which is the perspective we're going to look at today. It illustrates the importance of being devoted. Now, this is an interesting fact for you. This is one miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. It's recorded right here in Matthew 14. It's also found in Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. But let's read together Matthew 14, beginning in verse 13. Sorry, I didn't change the slide. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 13. "When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities." Sounds like some devoted people to me. "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away.'" They're telling Jesus, "This is what you need to do," right? We do that too much. We tell God and Jesus what they need to do. That's what the disciples are doing. "Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is a powerful story. It's a story that you know, we've heard it a lot. But to me, every time I read it, and depending on which account I read it from, it seems that I pick up something different. And as I was reading and preparing for this lesson, there were just some things that leapt out to me that I haven't shared with you in a lesson when I preach this kind of lesson before. And it went right along with what I'm trying to portray in the importance of being devoted and not distracted. And not being content, being content with our earthly possessions, but not being content spiritually. You see, in this story, we are those disciples from time to time. Now listen, they were with Jesus all the time. And they thought they had it figured out. Isn't that the way we can get sometimes? Hey, I go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. I'm in Bible class. I'll even teach a class. I might even stay for a Sunday afternoon for the master occasionally. And I feel like I'm really good spiritually, but that's all I get. I don't do any reading. I don't do any praying. I don't do any visiting. I don't do any encouraging. I don't do any serving outside of my normal come to Sunday, come to Wednesday, etc., etc. Well, now I got it figured out, though. And God is trying to change my life. Because why? We're all trying to elevate where we are. That's elders on down. That's all of us, right? We're all trying to change who we are. We're not trying to sit here and say, hey, I've made it to this status and now I've got it all figured out. No, that's foolish. That's being content spiritually. I've got to elevate. I've got to keep studying. I've got to keep praying. I've got to keep serving. And so with that mentality, guess what? God sometimes tries to change our paradigm. He tries to change our focus. He tries to change us and mold us. Okay, Terry, I want to fine-tune you right here, and I want you to do this and do that. But if I've got the mentality of I'm content spiritually, guess what? You know, I'm going to tell God what to do. Oh, no, God, I'm not going to do that. Somebody else will. I've got it figured out. I'm going to send them away. I'm going to send those people away so they can get some food. Yeah, they're hungry, and it's getting dark, so I need to send them away. Jesus said, no way. I'm about to change your paradigm. I'm about to change the way you think. I'm about to change what you think about me. Because I can take something and make amazing things out of it. I can take a little and make a lot. And so with that, I want to challenge your contentment today. I want to challenge where you are today. I want to challenge our elevation today. And I want to challenge us to be what God wants us to be. And I'm going to do that looking through Jesus' eyes. So what's point number one? Point number one is a logical one. I probably, every time I've ever shared this lesson, this point has to come across. But point number one reminds us, not the people, but Jesus. Again, look through Jesus' eyes. He is moved with compassion. Jesus performed this miracle, and you need to know this, on the heels of facing great grief. Jesus was human. Jesus hurt. Jesus cried. Jesus felt pain. He wasn't protected from it. Just because He was God in the flesh, He lived in the devil's world. And death and pain and hurt came His way. And what has just happened majorly in His life? He's lost His beloved relative and friend, John the Baptist, who had been beheaded at the order of King Herod. Now you know that bothered Him. When Lazarus was dead and He saw Mary and Martha, He wept over that. Jesus hurt when people hurt. And now John has had this tragic death by this terrorist. Yet, in Matthew 14, verse 14, we're reminded that Jesus had compassion on the people. They've been following Him. Remember, they're devoted. Now you might say, well, they're devoted because they're sick and they need Him to heal him. need them to heal him. You know what? That may be true. But I'll take motivation. I'll take motivation. God will take motivation any way He can get it, right? Sometimes we have to be humble before we look up. And I'm trying to remind us to do that before we get that humbling. Before life brings us to our knees. Let's look to the one who's elevated out of this world. But Jesus, these people were following Him. He had compassion. He had such great love. Even though He had been through this hard time, He put His own hurt aside to help the people. He knew His time on earth was short. Now, you got to remember, He knew. Yes, He was human, but He was God in the flesh. He knew that there was coming a time when He was going to be arrested and He was going to be crucified. But He pressed forward in these 3 years of His public ministry to do all that God had called Him to do, even when it was very difficult. Compassion's not always easy. Seeing people and seeing needs of others who are hurting and taking time out from our own self is not always easy. Sometimes we go through hard times. Sometimes we go through deaths. Sometimes we go through broken lives. Sometimes we go through disease. Sometimes we go through sickness. Sometimes we go through fill in the blank, right? And we have maybe can get up the mindset of, hey, for a year now, we've been in this pandemic. And we've had tunnel vision. And it becomes real easy to not see the needs of others. It becomes real easy to not see the importance of compassion. But you know what compassion does? It keeps us devoted. It keeps us from being distracted. Jesus was not distracted by the death of His relative. He was devoted to the will of God. And because of that, His compassion came true. In fact, Mark reminds us the people were like sheep not having a shepherd. Everywhere we go, social distanced or not, there's a crowd surrounding us. They, like we, are diseased. The people surrounding Jesus, following Jesus, were sick. There are people all around us, they're sick. They're struggling, and I'm not talking about physically sick, even though that's the case. I'm talking about sick with sin. It's time. It's beyond time to elevate the compassion that we have through Christ and open our eyes to it. The people that maybe run in our circles from time to time, they are sheep without the shepherd. In order to help them, we've got to realize it and open our eyes to it. But it takes us elevating that compassion, elevating our spiritual desire, elevating our focus on God. We must stay focused on what really matters. You know what the devil will tell us really matters? Ourselves. Selfishness. That matters. Look out for your own self. Get yours before someone else does. Folks, you matter, but ourselves do not matter. Does that make sense? You matter to me, but I can't matter. Now, I got to take care of myself. Now, don't hear me. But I got to get the selfishness out. You know what else doesn't really matter? Material things. Listen. I like things. I like stuff. I like shiny. But at the end of the day, what does that matter? You know what else doesn't matter? Majoring in the minors. There are a lot of folks that get so distracted on minute things that do not matter in life. And it becomes their focal point. And they can't let it go. Compassion, reaching the lost, helping people. Oh yeah, it takes money. It takes bodies. It takes energy, but it really takes compassion. Jesus had compassion on the crowd, and He had compassion on so many more, you and me included. Thanks be to God. You see, we are to be Christ-like. We're to be compassionate. But number two, point two, as you look through this in Jesus' life, we're reminded that Jesus is bigger than any problem we face. Who wants to be problem-free? I guess that's Timon and Pumbaa, right? To our kids here. Hakuna Matata. It's our problem-free philosophy. Our philosophy, our desire, hey, I want to be problem-free. But you know what? We live in a world that's got a lot of problems. When the disciples came to Jesus with the problem, what was the problem? Let's send them away because we don't have enough food to feed all these people. By the way, it was 5,000 men. I don't want you to think it was like 3 or 4 people now. It was 5,000 men, to their credit. So maybe around 10,000 total, who knows, or more. They brought the problem to Jesus, and you know what He said? He said, listen to the commands. Listen to what I'm commanding you. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. He said, verse 16, give them something to eat. But He gave them other commands besides feed them. He said, bring them. He told them to sit. Where are you going with this? Jesus encouraged the disciples to look for a solution. To take their eyes off the pressing problem and look to the answer. Jesus was the answer and Jesus is still the answer. You see, so often, problems arise. You know, you've heard Bill say before over the years, and I've adopted it as I thought it was a great point. He said, if we had the capabilities to bring all our problems and pile them up right here in the middle of this building, I put my problems in and all y'all put your problems in. When I look at y'all's problems, guess what? I may take my problems back. Because my problems may not be near as big as your problems. But we all have them. We all have challenges, right? We all have struggles. But you know what we quit doing when we get problems, if we are not elevated or if we are content spiritually? You know what we do? We take our eyes, our focus off the answer and put it on the problem. We quit listening to His commands. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. What did He say? Go into all the world. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And what? Lo, I am with you always. He didn't say, go and be compassionate, and I'll see you later. You see, Christ is always going to be with us. The answer is always going to be with us. What do we have to do? Listen. He gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. It's doubly important, right? We must listen to the commands that He's directing us in. In a world filled with darkness and fear, Jesus is still the only solution for the troubles that surround. You know what He did? Just like those disciples, He sent us out. He sent us out, though, with His power and with His Spirit. He instructs us today to be salt and light. He instructs us today to, quote, give them something to eat. What is that something to eat? The very bread of life. Who can make an eternal difference in their souls. The truth remains, 1 John 4, verse 4, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world.
number three. Point number three, as we're trying to not be content spiritually, as we're trying to elevate ourselves out of this world and be devoted. This is a big one now. This one's the hard one. This might be the breaking point. But looking through the eyes of Jesus, you know what He does? He asks us to bring Him all we have. He asked the disciples to give Him what they had. That's verse 18, Matthew 14. He said, give me what you have. Now, the disciples didn't have much. In fact, they didn't have anything. But that, John taught us that there's a young lad there, right, who had the five loaves and two fish. So this little boy, they said, maybe they asked around, maybe they surveyed it, and they said, hey, all the food we have here, this little kid over here, this young lad, he's got five loaves of bread and two fish. I don't know what he's going to do with the bread. I don't know what he's going to do with the fish. Maybe he's taking it home and that was what mom and dad were going to have. I don't know. But here's what I do know. He gave it. And he gave all he had. So the disciples then took what they had and offered it to Jesus Christ. Even though it seems so meager, so insignificant, so small, they offered it all. Now the disciples, if I'm honest, looking at the story honestly, they probably thought Jesus is crazy. This man is crazy to ask us to feed all these people. I mean, what are they going to get? Like a crumb each, you know, off this bread? A scale each off these fish? What are they going to get? Among 5,000 plus people, this wouldn't feed hardly one family. But they still obey. And they still brought it all. Even though He was still molding them and still working on them, they still brought it all to Him. And this single obedient act ushered the way for Jesus to perform this amazing miracle story that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about today. The truth remains. Obedience paves the way for great things to happen. It keeps us devoted. That's why the desire of our heart must be Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. Now listen, before you think I'm saying write your entire savings account and put it in a plate today. Now, if somebody wanted to do that, I mean, we'll love you through it. But that's not what I'm saying. But when I surrender myself into the waters of baptism, there's water behind these walls. When I surrender myself, I didn't just surrender my hand. I didn't just surrender my foot. I didn't just surrender my head. I surrendered all. And that's why all of us and all of self, must be fully devoted to the work and will of God. Listen, some of us just have the five loaves and two fish. Whether it's a dollar or a thousand, that's not the point. We can all contribute. Five loaves and two fish in Jesus' hands, a lot. A dollar in Jesus' hands, a lot. An hour in Jesus' hands, a lot. Minutes in Jesus' hands are a lot. God is not concerned with how much, but He is concerned with, are you giving at all? Are you contributing at all? You see, we have a responsibility to seek and save the lost. That's a command given to every one of us. But not everyone can be a preacher. Not everyone has the talent to conduct a Bible class or a Bible study, but we all have the ability to contribute and to give, whether it's self or whether it's funds or whether it's all the above. Jesus asked them to bring Him what they had. What do you have to bring to Jesus Christ? Finally, this morning, as we look at this story, challenging our lives to not be content spiritually, to elevate our devotion to God. And we conclude this series of lessons with this point. Jesus can bring blessing from what has been broken. Jesus, the worker of miracles, the loving provider, took what they gave and broke it. He broke it. And He blessed it and offered it before God. You see, in those powerful words of verse 19, it reminds us of this, that we're all going to walk through broken times. Sometimes we need Him to break us. Sometimes, or oftentimes, the world will break us. It will step on us. It will run over us. And it will pick us up and do it all over again the next day. But if we're honest with ourselves, because this world's cursed, because this world's broken, we're all going to face dark times. Jesus said so in John 16, right? In this world, you will have tribulation. Of course, He said He's overcome the world. But the reminder is this, we're going to have troubles, we're going to have brokenness, we're going to have hard times. We know that however hard it is at the time, if I am elevated spiritually, if I am fully devoted to God, listen again, if I'm fully devoted, if I'm not content spiritually, if I'm elevated, we know that however hard it is at the time, there's also great blessing and power that can come through it. Brokenness brings distraction. But Jesus Christ offers our lives, broken pieces and all, and brings us before the Father. When you and I bring our broken selves to God through Jesus Christ, He can take that broken life, put it back together better than it ever was, and present something so beautiful. You see, that's the grace and favor that Jesus alone can bring into our lives during those dark and heavy days. As we conclude today, I want you to go in your minds now biblically and fast forward some months. There was another time that Jesus broke bread and gave it, offered thanks before the Father. And it was the Last Supper. You know what was going to happen right after that? Misery. You know, when we break bread today, as Virgil reminded us so well of, when we break that bread that's already been broken and we break it even in our mouths, what are we reminded of? Christ's broken body on the cross. Well, He didn't have any broken bones, preacher. You're right, He didn't. But He had a broken body. His body was beat. It was pulverized. It was destroyed. Why? As He's breaking bread with those disciples, at that Last Supper, it was the very picture of what He was willing to endure on our behalf. The brokenness of the cross and the blessing and power of the resurrection. As we come to this close and before Joseph comes and leads us in this song, I want you to ask yourself some questions. What's keeping me from Jesus Christ right now? Is it compassion? Is it contribution? Is it His commands? What is it? Is it brokenness? What's keeping you from Jesus Christ right now? What's keeping us from being devoted and causing us to be distracted? I can tell you right now, whatever it is, it's not worth it. Christ's compassion, His commands, His contribution, all helped us not to be broken, not to be distracted. So that's why it's time to bring Him the haunting fears, the nameless dread. Thy heart He will relieve and lift up thy head. We've come to a point in time when right now in our lesson, it's time to bring Christ your broken lives so that He can make them whole again. Get rid of the distraction. Be fully devoted. Elevate self. And never be content spiritually. If we need to change it, let's do it right now. It's together. We stand and sing.